So in summary, from James we've learned that unless our living adds up to our profession of faith, our faith is worthless. We have been saved by grace through faith, but because in Christ we're new creatures, our life should demonstrate the beauty of Christ. And as we've studied James, we've looked at a variety of subjects such as caring for the poor, the way that we talk, and our unity within the body of Christ. And I was just wondering how I could best sum it up. And I was thinking, as I told you this morning, that when I first went to Africa, I was made guest house hostess. I had decided before the Lord at the age of 12 that I'd be a missionary. That was years before I really understood what being a Christian was. But I was in Melbourne, I heard a missionary speak. We lived in Albury and I went home to Albury after this meeting and I said to my parents, I'm going to be a missionary. I was very surprised. I just had a visit from the headmaster of the high school where I went and he said, if your daughter doesn't pull her socks up, we're not interested in having her in our school any longer. And Mum said to me, some missionary they're going to get. But that was my dream. As the years went by, I left school, went nursing, with this in mind, that missionaries often were nurses. And then I finished my general training in Albury and went to Sydney to King George to do obstetrics. And it was there, through the witness of the Christian nurses, that I understood what being a Christian was and really started walking with the Lord. After that I went to Bible College, the Croydon, Sydney Missionary Bible College at Croydon, and eventually went to Africa. 14 years I'd been preparing for that day. I used to think Africa was getting something really good. 14 years preparation, nurse, kind, loving nurse. That's what I thought. And Bible college and years of looking forward to it. But when I first got there, 6 months studying the language, and that was dreadful. Just, although I enjoyed language study, it seemed that I was still being delayed in this desire to be a missionary, just sitting there day after day after day, memorising, sitting with an informant, all these things. The day came and I did my language exam, the next day they said, you've passed it. Oh, at last, I can go up to the hospital and start being a missionary. What I want to do. And that day the field director called me and he said, look, we've got news for you. Yes, for the next 6 months you'll be staying here and you'll be the guest house hostess. And he said, what do you think about that? And I said, I can't imagine anything worse. That is the worst thing. I can't cook. I left home when I was 17 and I just can't do it. And he said, well, you'll just have to do it. And he left me, and the next morning I got up, and instead of going to the hospital and starting my life's work, there I was in charge of the kitchen. For the first hour of that day, I cried on my knees before the Lord. I was terrified. I had to be in charge of a staff of Somali people who did the work. And as I said, the meat was a challenge, just buying it and knowing what to do with it. And there was no salad vegetables, there weren't many vegetables at all to buy. It was a really hard time and sometimes there were 25 people there needing to be fed, language students, visitors, people coming down from their stations to have a rest. And for 6 months I did that. At the end of it I had this huge debt to pay because people would come to the door and sell eggs and little tiny, their chooks lay eggs that size and you have to put them in water and if they float, you give them back to the person. Is that right? Yeah, the floating ones you give back. But you had to keep an account of every egg and everything you bought and when I came to hand over, thankfully to the next hostess, the money was way out and I had to fork out of my money all that because of a result of my inability to add up and keep accounts. It was a really, really hard time. But long before it was over, I started to see what the Lord was doing. The person who'd done it before me was a lady who'd been out there for years. She'd gone out in about 1940 And they wanted her to be relieved so that she could do the Bible translation. She translated the whole Bible. It took 40 years to get the whole Bible into the Somali language, but she was to be relieved to do that. And her husband was our director. But her bedroom was right off the dining room where I was working. She was my language teacher. And she would hear everything I said. So if I said, where are my keys, to someone, I'd say, Furahagi Awi, and that was the singular. So out of this bedroom would come this deep voice and a correcting service. Immediate, coming out the door, giving me the correct word, and I used to pull faces at the door till she saw me. But I had, because of that, I had another 6 months language study, but much more wonderful than that, I started to realise that one of my real joys in life was looking after people, seeing the missionaries come off the bus hot and tidy, hot and dusty and tired, and helping them. Look after them, enjoying seeing them have a rest, starting to enjoy even planning meals and changing some of the recipes to devil's steak and all sorts of things. I looked back on that 6 months as one of the most happy and fulfilling times in my life, and from that time on I have always enjoyed looking after people. And we see that as one of our main ministries in our little house, that people can come and stay and have fellowship. So it taught me that often our disappointments are God's appointments. We don't know why our plans are changed so often, but often long before that period is over and we're still in the hard situation, we see that God had a purpose in it. And since I came home, I read about a helicopter pilot that really challenged me. In the famine situation in Ethiopia, they used helicopters to get the food to the starving people. Ethiopia is on the equator almost, but it's a land of high mountains, so parts of it are very cool because Addis Ababa itself is 9,000 feet above sea level, and there are very high mountains towering over over Addis. So to get the food to the starving people, they use these helicopters to go across ravines because the people are too weak to walk to the food, and it costs so much to get people to carry it, so they just wing it across. Well, this man brought his family to Ethiopia from the Cameroons, and he was one of the ones that helped so much in a mission called Heli Mission. Heli Mission meant a lot to us. They rescued us at one stage when our station was flooded. And he said, he wrote this article about the time he was in the Cameroons. He said every year in the Cameroons we used to have a spiritual life conference. Now, all of our missions have that, a week, and that is what we're looking forward to going to in Bolivia, is their spiritual life conference. Or a time when the missionaries all come together and have meetings, learn from the Word of God, fellowship together, share their joys, share their sorrows, play volleyball, just have a break and fellowship. Some of them are only one family or a couple of single ladies in an isolated spot, and you can imagine what it means to get together. So this fellow, whose name was Stephen, was in with his wife and children at this place having a spiritual life time and being richly blessed. And the theme of their messages was the glory of God, how to glorify God in your life. Well, he got a message one afternoon that he was to go in his helicopter the next morning right down to the south of the country, pick up a patient and take the patient to the north of the country where there was a hospital. And he was sad about that. He said, I've done my 40 hours flying for the month. I'm really tired. I want to hear the messages, and it's a really hard thing to have to do to leave and do this flying, which was quite... But he had to go, he was told, and that was it. So he flew off the next morning, sort of growling and saying to his wife, I don't want to go. And as he flew down there, he was feeling very negative. When he got there, the man whose name was Francis had a terrible disease called pyomyositis. Great big abscesses all over him and pus in the muscles. Dreadful smell. When his When they got him into the helicopter and it was boiling hot, this dreadful smell, and so he had to fly with him with this smell filling the helicopter, and it was a lot further than he anticipated, and so he was going to miss the morning meeting altogether, and his feelings were welling up, and then when they tried to get the man out of the helicopter, all his muscles had seized up, gone hard from lying flat. He hadn't been able to move, and so there was loud screaming, trying to get the poor man out, took him to the nurse, and then said, "I've got to go," left as quickly as could, was climbing back into his helicopter, when the man, Francis' brother, who'd gone with them, came behind him, and just as he put his foot onto the side of the helicopter, the brother put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Thank you, Pilate. Today you've been Jesus to me." And so as he flew back to where he was going, his heart was full of this thought. And the Lord taught him a lot through that. "Today you've been Jesus to me." And as he got out of the helicopter back at the place, his wife said, "Oh, honey, you missed a wonderful message on how to glorify God." He said, "No, I didn't, honey. I got it loud and clear." And I think that that is the lesson that we want to take away with us today. How do we glorify God? We glorify God by doing what is in hand for us in our situation. And as Kath said this morning, and as I want to emphasise, all that we have is today. Yesterday is gone. It'll never come back. The failures of yesterday have been forgiven and we've learnt many lessons, but we cannot bring back the past. And the future is unknown. We don't know how long or what it holds. All we have is today and the situation that is ours. God said to Moses when he called him, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "My shepherd's staff." And he's asking us today, what is in your hand? What is in your situation? And when we asked you about the pressures in your lives yesterday, you told us your children, your husbands, workmates, church groups, physical condition, getting older, not feeling well, all the things that happen, the workload. Some people are struggling with their financial position. Some are struggling with their personality or other people's personality. These are the raw material that we've got to work with. These are the things that God has brought into our lives. These are our shepherd's crook. And what God is saying to us is, what are you going to do with what is in your hand and what is your situation today? How do we glorify God? By trusting him, by believing that he loves us and that he's in control of our lives. And so James ends his book up with, "Is any one of you in trouble?" This is 5:13. "He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring you back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner away from his error will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." And Daniel 12 says the same thing. "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." James does not go in for lengthy farewells. He ends like he started, on a practical note, reminding us of the rewards of those who point other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't have a benediction. He's a practical man from beginning to end, and I'm sure that that's what we've got out of his book. Practical rules for living and the knowledge that what is in our hand is our day and our particular situation, and the knowledge that through all of that, God is able to be glorified in our lives just as we are.